We have been talking about these last few weeks. Jesus' invitation to us into the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, depending on which gospel you're reading, right? We've been correcting some untruths, which we only get that when we die, right? That is not true. Jesus says, it's here now, right? His invitation to walk in the kingdom of God is here now, okay? If it's not, death is our savior. That's not true, all right? We're called to live abundant life now. So we're cleaning up some theology, right? So, because we've exchanged it. We've bought into a lie that we're just kind of stuck in this counterfeit culture, right? We're stuck in this other place, and until we die and go to heaven, I deal with it. I have to deal with cancer. I have to deal with bad eyes. That's not what Jesus said. Right? He told us what to do with cancer. He told us what to do with eyes like that. Right? He told us. So we're waking up to how to walk in this. And so we've been talking about, our whole life, everything about us has been formed by this other culture. Right? And I've used this language of a counterfeit culture. Right? You can call it, the Bible sometimes calls it the kingdom of this age. And you and I both know that the enemy wreaks havoc in that one. And his currency for that place is fear. Period. Right. The thing that covering over that, this thing that blinds us that there's something else, is sin. Right? And we've talked about that. That's all that is. Sin is a blinder on what's true. You think you're stuck in fear. He says, no. And that's why Jesus, right? So our reality. Right? We're going to be formed by culture that says, this is it. Welcome to stinky life. Right? Or I'm going to let Jesus, heaven, form my reality. Right? Jesus says, think this way. Believe this way. Act this way. Right? So we're learning about which kingdom we're going to walk in. One formed by Jesus and one formed by culture. Right? So we talked last time about what those influencers were on that reality, right? We talked about the seven mountains. Culture shapers that tweak our truth, right? Things like government and education, right? Things like arts and entertainment, things like communication and media, right?
Politics.
Finance.
Right?
Religion, church. We buy into these counter-cultural lies that tweak us into this other reality. So what we're learning is Jesus says, look, I came to show you what the kingdom of God looks like. Okay? That's where we've been. The question for you. What does it mean to you to be a success? No wrong answers. Don't worry about it. What does it mean to be a success? What comes to your mind?
Trying something. Even though you might fail.
Ah, I like that. Don't worry about giving me the church answer right away. What's the world say?
Accomplishing
something.
Making money.
Oh, yeah. Sure. You bet. Making money is one that position and title. Right?
My first thought was loving people well.
What an excellent thought.
And
perfect. What is that?
And being loved.
Allowing
feel like you're a failure.
When I think about those culture shapers that we just mentioned, some of them, they're things like success. They're trying to fill in the blank for, right? We let culture shapers say this is what it is to be successful. Okay. So I was on the road this week on a business trip, and I'm at a dinner, which I don't normally do. With a small group, it's only five of us. And the reason for the dinner was one of the men was retiring. He's older guy, and so these other folks that were at the dinner were people that have done business with us for the last 30 years. Right? Well, I just want to say goodbye. And I'm at this table, and I'm thinking, wow, these are powerful guys. One of them is a multi-millionaire, runs a very large corporation on the East Coast that's all over the U.S., thousands of employees. And the other guy runs the defense sector for a large company. So they're very successful, accomplished guys. And I'm sitting at this table, and they're talking. One of them, he and his wife, are leaving to their place in the Canaans the next week, right? They're all talking about, oh, I was in the Baltics last week doing it. And just like these big world of things. And I'm thinking, wow.
You said, man, I was in Walmart.
And so I'm sitting at this table, I'm thinking, this is pretty fascinating, right? One, I feel like, well, it's cool. These are my friends. And it's different. They think differently, by the way.
Yeah.
They think differently. They think powerfully.
Right.
They know they're making decisions. Like this one guy sits on multiple boards and he speaks with and he meets with all these venture capitalists. And they're like moving money. And I think, wow. Here's what's interesting. I remember on a business trip in the 90s, I'm in Italy. And I'm with this one man. And he's making the jump to start this company. So he's...
How long ago?
90s. So 25 years ago. And he's my age. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, wow, that takes guts. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, just having this conversation with each other about remember when, remember that choice, remember these things. I mean, I just seriously enjoyed it. That's the end of the meal. And it was a pleasant night. The bill comes. Because I'm on a business trip and I work for the government, I have to be careful. There's a bunch of rules that say what I can do when I'm with people like that. So I'm technically, I can't let them buy me dinner. And so we're going to put money into the bill to help pay. Of course, they want to, like, to them, it's like
nothing,
right? I just told you what they do. It's like, you know. And so we're putting money in and... there's more than enough money to pay the bill, right? And one of them reaches in and he takes somebody to like, come on, you don't need here, take it. Take this. Like you put in too much. I said, give it to the server, right? Bless the server. And he says, you know, I realize. He says, we've done business together, this team of people, for almost 3 decades. And he said, I remember sitting at dinners. And we're like, I got $10. You know, what are you going to buy?
These same people. That's
same
yes.
people. And,
right.
And he says, he makes this statement that was caught me in my heart. He says, I've noticed as I've gotten older that what was important to me then isn't what's important to me now.
Right.
And he says, I don't even think about the issue of compassion or generosity. And I thought, wow, isn't that an interesting, you know, thought, observation about life, that we're as we mature, we like, this is what matters. It's what you and I might say as we get near the end of life, family matters, right? Going to Disneyland isn't as important as sitting down on the patio and having a cup of coffee, just talking, being together, being family. And I was thinking in the context of, when Jesus is talking to us about the kingdom of God, and I used this word a few weeks ago, subversive, remember that? And I said, because, I said subversive because in that other, if this is the kingdom of God, this is the counterfeit. The counterfeit one says, this is what's in charge here, and you'll subscribe to this truth, right? And Jesus says, no. You don't have to subscribe to that truth. This is what's true, right? That's not your authority. This is. So, right? It's like you're choosing another authority, right? That's subversive thinking, right? So Jesus comes in and it's like, no. So, and when he's talking, he's actually contrasting these two kingdoms. When he introduces this kingdom of God concept, and he's actually getting us to this thing of just like my dinner, of the meaning of life kind of thinking, the what is good, right? Even what does it mean to be a success thing? Jesus is actually so disruptive in the thinking, because you know they're no different than you, by the way. Oh, we've got technology that's changed, and there are new medicines and such, but the things that hillside of people, in Matthew 5, it says the multitudes are on the outside, right? They had the same things you had, the same marital issues at home, the same struggles of putting food on a table or paying the rent, so to speak, life issues, and what am I going to do next kinds of questions, and dealing with this kind of strife or this anxiety. And by the way, they had diseases then too. And so Jesus is trying to get to the point of, like, the dinner conversation of, this is what matters. This kingdom doesn't get stuck in those things. Those are temporal things that the world has said you should be shaped by. Really, that's how all those shapers of reality, governments and religion, those are the things that those are the metrics for success we've set. So when Jesus gets into this thing that he called the Beatitudes, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Blessed is.
Yes.
Here's one of the things I want to get across to this morning, because since the beginning of time, we have been shaped by other cultures. It says this is what's important. And Jesus is trying to get them to think, like, no. Right? We're thinking different here. You've been lied to. He's getting them to say, look, we're going to go beneath this surface level. In fact, you know, the scripture talks about the dividing of the spirit and soul. Right? He says, that's the place we're going to go. We're going to go dig into your heart here. And so when we get into the Beatitudes where it says, blessed is the poor, blessed are the... If Jesus is telling them, this isn't a transaction. It's not, if you do this, then you'll get this, right? That's religious thinking. If you come to church, then you get some good points. If you read your Bible, you get some good points. If you give an offering, you get some good points, right? See what I'm saying? Church, religious system, yeah. Religious system has said that to us. If you do this, then you'll get this. So we approach life like a set of scales, and it's all about, did I perform good enough to be accepted? Yeah. Right? That's what religious system teaches us. Right? So when Jesus is talking about these things, we know that's, everybody say, that's not true. So if you and I know that's true, that's right. I know, Danny, that's right. You're right. So what's it saying here? It's not a transaction. I want to tell you. It's not a transaction, it's a state of being. Okay? I'll get into that in a second. Because he tells us this. By the way, the verb blessed, if you think of it like a transaction, right? Like, here, Dave, here's $10, and you give me a burrito. I'm blessed! Right? Right? Not a transaction. Right? It's actually a good word for it is happy. It's like, I'm in a state of happiness. I'm in a state of like, it's not because Dave gave me a burrito. It's like, wow,
I should have a burrito.
It's like, I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel alive. I feel powerful. Not because because I did something to get something. Because right? He says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted, right? And you're like, that doesn't sound like a place of tranquility, right? That actually looks like a pretty pitiful list, if you think about it. It's like, God, are you telling me that I have to exist in that state to get some good points or to be content? Right? The world would say, I have an answer for, if instead of being hungry, let's have lots of food. Instead of being poor, let's be rich, right? The counterfeit culture says this is the contrast to that. This is what Jesus is telling them. Because he knows. Guess what's on the mountainside? Hungry people.
Right.
Guess what's on the mountainside?
Poor people.
Okay? meet people, people that are hurting, people that are in need, people that are desperate.
People
are lost. By the way, there are other people on the mountainside too. There are some rich ones out there. Right? There are some that have plenty to eat. Right? It's a mixed bag. Jesus is saying, it's like, look, you're not blessed because, but Jesus is saying, this isn't about, right, who gets to come in. He's making a statement. This is a even though you're poor, you get access. Even though you're in need, you get to come in. Even though you're hungry, even though you're wanting, you're powerful. He's actually speaking then. It's like it's you're not blessed because of the condition. You're blessed because in that condition you're choosing to believe powerfully. Let's see if I can say that differently. Like, the world has said you're less than because you're poor. Right? Do you believe that? The world says that. The world says you're less than because you don't have lunch. We treat you less. Right? Jesus says that is not a condition of being powerful in the kingdom. Right? Do you get that? The issue of identity, sonship in the kingdom is regardless of color, sex, marital status, financial status, job title, right? Jesus is speaking to him. He says, look, you're not excluded. This is like, remember, gospel is good news. You're not excluded from being powerful.
Right.
You're not excluded from being family and eating at Papa's table. Right? In fact, he says, the world thinks you're a failure. I'm here to tell you, you're amazing. Powerful, right? So this is what they're hearing on the mountainside. All they know is, I don't measure up. Most of these people around here think that because I'm poor, that I'm not good enough, or that I don't get picked for ball team, so to speak. Jesus is looking at the multitudes and saying, "You're my first choice. You're my top pick. You're the ones that are going to move mountains. You're the ones. I'm going to give you an impossible assignment. Go heal the sick. You're the ones." He's getting their eyes off a condition that says, this is what qualifies me, right? By all these externals. And he's telling them, it's like, look, the issue isn't about condition. It's about this thing in your heart that says, I know I'm a son. I know I belong in the kingdom. I know my dad's the most powerful force in the universe. Right? And I know he's given me the keys to the Ferrari, so to speak. I know he's given me the checkbook to his bank account. I know he's given me the keys to the warehouse where all the answers to life's problems exist. And he said, go do business in my name. That's who I am. Right? So it's not an illusion. Right? He said, this is what a blessed life looks like, learning to walk in that truth. That's why he uses this word blessed. Okay? So, when Jesus tells us this, he says, look, the issue isn't bank accounts and things like that. He tells me, he said, look, we're learning to walk. What does it mean to participate in the kingdom of heaven? Right? Jesus says, you're invited in to live life this way. You're invited in to do family business just like Jesus.
Right.
What's the response of fullness that way? Jesus tells you, well, it looks like this. It looks like, what is the fullness of God and kingdom? It looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, right? Life is fine too. Free the spirit. All of a sudden, it's like, wait a second. If I think life's a transaction, you know, now all of a sudden, people, you know, the religious leader's telling me, you know, go love. And it's like, stop being angry, love. Stop being a sourpuss, go be happy, right? And we react like, oh, there's like I need to do something to act that way. And it, again, it's like getting our heads around Jesus saying, no, we're learning to be. We're learning that as we come into agreement with the kingdom of God, he says, you'll know you're in agreement with kingdom because the Bible calls it fruit.
Right.
He says, you'll know you're in agreement because this is all you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not struggling with anger because I know what oneness looks like with him. Right? So it's interesting. So he goes through Galatians, through Matthew 5, which is what we call the Beatitudes, and he sets up, hey guys, you're all welcome in. Right? These and blessedness, happiness, contentment is a state of being one in kingdom. Right? So he says, look, there are some things we need to be aware of because you've been thinking this whole thing is about qualifying to get in. Right? Because he says this, he gets that whole list, and then he says this statement after he writes a list. He said in verse 20 of Matthew 5, for I say to you that unless your righteousness abounds more than the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. It sounds like we're like, wait a second, there's something that says I have to do something to get in, right? If you don't do this, then you'll not get in. So, entering into the kingdom, we know it's not about going in when you die, right? We know it's about a cooperative relationship with God, right? We're stepping into that. We know it's about partnering with what he's doing.
Right.
So, Jesus says, on earth as in heaven, right? So he says, entering in is about doing life that way, on earth as it is in heaven. So, you have to see, he says, okay, it's not about this righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. What does that mean? The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Right. Quick answer, I'll give you. He says, look, you're trying to subscribe to this external thing. The scribes and Pharisees were,
there's a poor widow. I will give money to the poor widow.
Everybody, did you see me give money to the poor widow?
Right. Oh, they're hungry. Here, let me give a loaf of bread to the hungry one. Did you see me give bread to the hungry one? You should all do that.
Right? What are they doing? Like, there's an image. Right? They're putting on a show, right? It's like this.
Yeah.
They said, look, it's about this external, this outward deed, right? And they're saying that this is what goodness looks like. I asked you, what does success look like earlier, right? Success for the world looks like position. It looks like money, bank accounts. Success looks like what cars in the driveway. It looks like, do I have a place in the Caymans to go to next week? But it's funny. The verse in 5:20, he says, unless you live beyond that, unless your righteousness abounds more, unless you go beyond what they're doing on the surface, right? So Jesus is so subversive. He's like, let me make this really clear. It's this whole thinking that it's about this external image conscious, make sure everybody sees this about me, right? He's like breaking it right off the bat. He says, look, this is about what's deep down under the surface, right? It's about, keep in my head, state of being. Darla, go ahead.
Well, in the Passion, it says, unless your lives are more pure. And it's not a statement of, how clean you are or perfect on the outside. It's a statement of there's no mixture. So you're not mixing this belief with that belief. So, I am purely unmixed in this kingdom in believing
that's
and
excellent.
Knowing,
yeah.
Then that's when you experience this realm of kingdom now.
Well, it's really, so it's, go ahead.
The way I see it is, in God's eyes, he sees us just like his son.
Perfect.
In God's eyes, he sees us just like his son. Now, the place where sin comes in, or when we're not living out of who we are, it's nothing that God's going to do to us because Jesus has already done it all for us.
Yeah.
Perfect.
His blood.
That's perfect.
Did everything, okay? So, the issue with living outside of your true identity is it gives the enemy a legal right to come in with the sickness, disease, pain, bad circuit, whatever it might be.
That's really good.
It's not Papa.
Right.
Because
right.
Papa has already covered you. So our part is to stay in that place of relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because by faith, we're living in two realms.
Yes. Right.
At once. Okay?
Right.
So there's a scripture when Joshua comes before in the heavenlies, Satan is next to him, accusing him. And as soon as Papa shows up, he says, you know what? Take off all those dirty garments off of him. And he placed the robe and the turban and all that. And so whenever we, by faith, step into that realm and come before Papa, he cleans us up.
Right.
That's good. That's good.
He cleans us up.
Right.
Right. That's good. So Jesus is up talking to the multitudes.
Right.
What they know is all the teachers around them, all the, what culture is saying, is how you respond to life's issues really are driven by externals. That's what they're. That's all they've ever been told. That it's all about keeping up appearances, so to speak, and trying to, you know, externally put a fix on things so people don't see your mess. Right? And Jesus is getting them to the issue of the heart. Learning to show them that about selfless love. Jesus has all been trying to say, look, let me satisfy that inner need and you can go live for them. Okay? Because it's right after he goes through all these this list of mercy, you know, the Beatitudes, so to speak, he goes and addresses these broken areas of life, relational issues. And I'm not going to talk into him because I'm looking at our clock. But he talks about what do you do when you're irritated with other people? Or you're angry with people? What do you do when you have lust in your heart? Or there's this thing of adultery? What do you do with marital dissatisfaction? What do you do with people that you're trying to manipulate people and control people to get them to make a decision one way or the other? Right? He talks about this desire for revenge because somebody hurt you, injured you. And then he says, what do you do about this thing about your enemies? And you just want, right, hating. How do I do with this? I want to hate them, right? So he goes on and says, okay, the scribes tell you this, right? The scribes tell you this, and subversive Jesus says, this is all about keeping up appearances. This is trying to put it in your own hand. But this is what selfless love looks like, right? And so Jesus is getting them to say, to the one point where he says, look, this invitation into kingdom, when we tell people, ask Jesus into your heart, we say, pray the sinner's prayer. We say, before you die, make sure you pray the prayer. And there's lots of different persuasions in different communities and denominations about what that means. Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you into the I'm inviting you into a new reality that's driven by your awareness, this revelation of what it means to be family, a son and a daughter of the King. Jesus is showing you what that looks like. So on the hillside, he says, this is what contentment looks like in kingdom. And it's class agnostic, race agnostic. You've got all these issues in life, anger, irritation, sexual issues, right? Now, will you let the Holy Spirit take you? Fear drives this one. Love drives this one. When he invites people in the kingdom, it says that we make a choice. We're saying, I want this reality. I know this is true. My heart's resonating with it. My own... Everything in my spirit is vibrating with this sound of heaven. Mm-hmm. I know this is true. Culture's telling me something else. So I've got this battle going on. Living powerfully, living weakly. Living in love, living in fear. living for others, living for myself. The invitation of come live in kingdom, asking Jesus into our heart is simply this. We're praying, God, by your Spirit, show me how to get rid of this influence. God, show me how to be a lover, not a hater. God, show me how to be powerful and not walk weakly. God, show me. And so Jesus is walking the multitudes through this invitation, right? Because he tells us this, and I'll close with this, in 2 Corinthians 5, right? Paul writes this. He said, for the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. And he's concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that they who live will no longer live for themselves, right? But for him who died and rose on their behalf. Right? Paul's saying, like, look, we're teaching us that Christ is inviting us into this kingdom, and our whole life journey, right, is to realize it's not about living for self, right, but about living for him in oneness with him. I'll stop there. We'll go on. I want to keep talking about this thing about kingdom, but look, it's not a transaction.
Right.
God didn't say if you do these different things, then you can come in. He says, you're in. You're welcome in. Holy Spirit will show you how to do business over here because
right.
your thinker's not lined up right. Mm-hmm. Right? But you belong. You're already in. Stop judging yourself. Stop weighing yourself. Stop looking for external conforming kinds of things of acceptance. You're in. Now, the invitation of, but what about, I haven't said the prayer. Look, the prayer is just this. God, when he says, when we say, be my Savior, be my Lord, we're saying, show me how to live this.
Right.
Right? I'm trusting you with the attitude of my mind and my heart. Holy Spirit, lead me into this truth. Okay? Make sense? Sorry, that felt, I'm looking at faces, and I feel like, I know it's awkward, right? But we're learning to think differently. And I just, the big one here is this, when I saw the Beatitudes, we think of it like a list. If I do this, then I get this. And I've heard people say that you shouldn't have money. Because one of the Beatitudes says, blessed are the poor.
Right.
And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying you have to get rid of all your money or you'll never get into the kingdom. He's not saying that, right? So clearly there's a different understanding we have to understand. And I'm telling you, you're all in.
Right.
You're all accepted. You're all powerful. We're learning like the man in Mark chapter 9. God, I know that's true. Help my unbelief.
Right.
Help my unbelief. Sorry. So with that, Father, we just say, thank you. You're teaching me how to see you differently. You're helping me understand what family looks like. You're helping me wake up to my identity. I'm learning how to be powerful. This week I pray that the spirit of revelation and power fall on everybody in this room. They're not afraid. They're not terrified. They're bold and powerful, God, so that when they're confronted with situations of a counterfeit kingdom, God, they walk powerfully in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.